it, and then the next time you look at it, you go, wait a minute, that totally doesn't make sense. There's a loop, there's a hole in that story, and I'm living as with that as my principle, and it has a hole in it.
What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Chad Passa. Chad's the founder of Bookkeepers of America, and for almost 20 years, Chad was a rock star. He was the lead vocalist of a band, and he's been an entrepreneur throughout that entire time, throughout his whole life, actually. He tells a story of when he was a kid doing a bunch of different odd jobs for money from his parents until they just kind of ran out of money to give him. So he started looking for other ways to make money outside of his house. One day, Chad and his wife decided to sell all their possessions and live a minimal lifestyle. We talk a lot about the kind of why he made that decision, why they both made that decision, and the freedom that it brought them, and how it was actually really difficult to get rid of all their stuff, just because of, I don't know, how society treats stuff. We like having stuff. We also talk about the company that came from that time in his life. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you enjoy the Play Hard podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play
Chad,
hard.
Without further ado, Chad, what's
Work
up?
hard, play
How's
hard.
your day going?
Gosh, Armand, good man. It's almost Friday,
That's true.
so that's always good, right? It's just a good energy on Fridays. So I used to be a performer, and if I had a choice between performing a local show on a Friday or a Saturday night, I felt like Fridays had a better energy. I don't know
Dude,
why.
I'm with you. And so this was the very first thing I wanted to dive in. I myself am in a band right now. I've been performing all over San Diego. It's been so much fun. Incredible time. I play the bass. So I wanted to get into it. First and foremost, you started off as a rock star. And from rock star to rock star, I just want to know how was it? How was the
I'm
life?
humbled by those kind words. I was the vocalist for the band, always have been. You'd probably put me as what you would call an artist before a vocalist, right? I like the art of it. And I'd love to learn more about what you got going on too. But my arc was I really liked telling the story on stage. I like to perform it. I like to, really like to let it all hang out. So, and I did that for almost 20 years, Armand. Yeah. So I was the guy who put it all on the line. And so I learned a lot through that. But music itself, it wasn't for me. I love to just create something from nothing. We'd start at the beginning of rehearsal. By the end of rehearsal, we have a song. And it was just like, and just the feeling you'd get from that takeaway. And that was like these little rewards you get, like you're just a creator. You're out in the world making stuff that didn't exist the day before, and now it's here on the planet for people. So,
And I mean, that's an entrepreneur in general. That's what we do. And another funny thing that I've noticed through my experience is I've come away with some of the most impactful, like, how do you work with, communicate, how do you structure a good team through this band? Like, it in itself has been like a team or its own company. In the way that we make decisions, in the way that we like map out what kind of shows do we want. Like at first we were just taking any gigs, and then they came to the point where we're like, okay, we're now making money from gigs, but like certain places pay more, certain opportunities pay more, and like we only have so many days to perform. So like where do we start prioritizing? How do we start getting our merch out there? How do we grow our fan base? And I saw these parallels that it became very like the business side of it kind of came out. What kind of similarities is that for your experience?
you're making me laugh, dude. I'll tell you why. My company now, and the people that I work with on my team, all day long, it's about musician and the band life analogies. I'm always they I every single time I'm like, so in the band, this is how we would do it. And when we'd write a song, so we'd take an idea and then we'd each person's doing their own thing, and so the analogies come out all the time because it's the way that I look at the world now, right? So everything I do, you're right, man. You're validating why I use those analogies, and I'm not alone, that it, and you can ask, especially my wife, she hears it all the time. Everything I do in business, somehow I did in the band in one shape or form. It has a place, right? From the creative, from the exposure, to the marketing, to the product, to the deliverables, to the management. Like it's, it's
show this episode to your team so they know you're not crazy. I feel you. I hear it.
You validating it. All right, good, good. Yeah, and it does. So if you're a musician, as long if you're taking it seriously, absolutely, you are running a full on business. Period. There ain't no question.
Yeah, and so with that, how did you make that transfer from musician to starting, you know, a business in the traditional sense?
Thanks for asking, brother. For me, I've only shared the story with a few people that have, you know, even tried to dive into this. You live two lives when you first start as a musician, right? You got your day job. That's your thing, right? And then you got, you know, whatever you're doing is your passion project. For me, and this will answer your first question again. It'll continue to validate that first one. But I had to transition by just doing both at the exact same time. So it was either, because the one didn't exist without the other. I couldn't be a full-time musician, right, at the time, but I couldn't be just not a musician, which is what I call a day job, is not being a musician.
Yeah.
Right?
That's funny. Yeah.
So, and the end goal was the musician, but that journey was always like, how do I maximize my time when I'm not doing music to create the most amount of money so I can fuel my passion project always. And it ended up being construction for me. So I built a contracting business and that was my thing. I was really, really good at it, made tons of money. In fact, I funded most of the, you know, the funding for like records, and I would front money the band and then get it back. I was always like using my money to make stuff happen, you know, and trigger those things.
So one thing I'm wondering, because I face the beautiful problem of prioritization and knowing where to put your time and focus and how they're all interrelated. So I see it as you had your day job and then your passion, and they were supporting each other. You couldn't have one without the other. But how did you feel like, did you ever once feel like if you just put all in on one, it would grow faster?
All the time.
Faster?
Yeah. The problem was you're in a band. You're not a solo musician. Okay, so here we go. Numerous times I went to the guys in the band and said, hey, here's a business idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sell merchant service accounts to all the bar owners and the club owners that we play at. And we're gonna sell this product or service as a band during our day job on the road. It's something we can do while we're out in the field. We can do it anywhere in the country. This is what we're going to do. And then we're going to write a few covers and we're going to do a few acoustic songs so that we can play all sorts of venues along the way. And we're going to go for
it.
We're going to quit the day job. This is my plan. I had it all written up on sketch paper at the time, you know, I'm like, we're going to do this, you guys. And I already had been making money with merchant service. Wasn't a big deal. And I knew we could make this work if we had everybody on board. But we got, I got kids and I got a mortgage and I got, it's like, okay, well, what is it you want? I was showing them that like, I'm ready, let's do this. But I couldn't get everybody else on board. So if I had any advice to my former self, I had to cut the cord right there on that day. But I didn't. That day, I would have said, well, you answered my question. I'm going to get my gear and I'm out of here.
Yeah, they didn't want it as badly. As my brothers like to say, you put your nuts on the table and it just seemed it wasn't reciprocated.
Yeah, and so I think I didn't see that red flag. Mm. And of course, I still love these guys. I like producing music with them. But it just, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. I don't want that to look like it. But there were some genuine excuses. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what to do. Like, here's the plan. We could make money on the road, but they just didn't believe in my idea. It could have been anything. Maybe my idea wasn't good enough. I don't know. Or it was risky. It was certainly risky.
Yeah.
But But I mean, at least also, I was trying. No one else was bringing stuff to the table, right?
That's what I was going to say. It could have been a misalignment of goals. Like, maybe at the end of the day, what they said was one thing, but, like, deep down, they were okay where they were at.
It could have been totally, and you know what? That's fine with me. It just wasn't me. I didn't want that. And that is one of the things I wish I would have done differently, but I don't regret really anything per se, because I pulled a ton of value from it.
Like,
it was fun. First of all, fun, right?
Yeah.
And rewarding. And like, you get that first. That's why you're there in the first place.
Oh, it's
awesome. You don't spend 2 hours in a sweaty room with a group of guys, you know, because it's not fun, right? That's the, it's just
playing
like
the same songs over and over.
Right. We're going to dial. It's that you nailed it, man. Or you screwed that up every single time we played it, you know?
For us, it's like we jokingly say we're a jam band because we never work on the endings for songs. So we're always just like on stage kind of looking at each other like, when are we going to end this? And so that's
doing the end of the song dance where we all do the same. Yeah.
Everyone just looks at the drummer.
Do that drummer thing that people do at the end of the song. Let's do that.
Yeah.
My favorite part was stalls, was silence. Because we'd just be shredding through a riff and then the whole band. And then we just drop back into it. Always, for whatever reason.
I know what you mean.
I love stalls.
You got to be locked in for those.
Yeah. Those were so fun. Yeah. So
it sounds like you've always had this entrepreneurial mindset carried around with you. Is there an origin to that?
I do have a little story behind that, my man. Thanks for asking. So... I was that kid who mowed lawns, right? What I learned was that my parents, they'd give me money like most parents do when you do a thing and the chores and all this, right? And then I started asking like, hey, I want to make more money. Can I clean the garage? Yeah. Okay, cool. Garage is clean. Hey, I was wondering, I want to make some money. Can I, you know, do blank, blank? Pretty soon, my parents are like probably in the bedroom at night thinking, we got to tell him no next time he asks. He's tapping us out, right? Like, I'm just taking my parents' money doing miscellaneous nonsense tasks because they're trying to teach you the principles of money and value. But in the meanwhile, you're like, you're overworking the facility. Anyway, that's where it began, was that part of me was like, I learned how to trade my time and energy for money. But then I was like, I tapped out the asset. Right? These guys aren't going to pay much.
They should have started saying, all right, now we got to talk about rent and taxes.
But they didn't. See, that's maybe where they went wrong. Well played, Armand. So then the next level was I got into sales. One of my friends at school was making money, and I'm like, okay, that's the money I want. And this is the funny part. There was a gray van with a guy named Rudy in it that would pull up to my house, no windows in the van, the short Chevy ones, the old ones. I would run out the house, jump in this van, and we'd go sell candy door to door for 4 hours a night.
You were selling candy in a van. That's...
Uh-huh.
That's a bit ridiculous.
He'd give us a box and have candy in it, and we'd walk around the neighborhood, knock on doors, and sell candy. I made $1 a box. My best night ever was $65. I remember selling 65 boxes of candy in 4 hours, and I'm like, this is real money. But I was selling door to door before I had my driver's license, right? And I can't believe, first of all, my mom let me run out the door and get in this van.
You know,
3-4 nights a week.
Well, you tapped them out. They didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, they're like, all right, cool, somebody else, take over. But then I mowed lawns in the summers. I shoveled snow in the wintertime. Like, I didn't ask my parents if that's what I should do. I literally just grabbed the snow shovel, went down the street, knocked on the doors of the neighbors, said, hey, looks like you're driving me. So that's the core of it all. I just learned right away, take action. It's there for the taking. It's up to you, man. Nobody's going out there and shovel that snow for you and give you $10, right? You got to go do it.
That was a very tough lesson to learn, was the just take action part. I have this like experience where I really like to think and think and think, and it just kind of blocks me, and I mean, it got me in trouble a lot of my life. It got it. You know, at the same time, there are other ways I would take action, but like, I feel like I watched one too many opportunities sail past to where I finally started saying like, fuck it, anything cool, anything that like excites me or interests me, I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna start doing it. This podcast is a great example. Like, I know I like talking to people. I didn't know what a podcast was, or like a lot of people were like, do you know how many podcasts there are out there? And I was like, dude, I don't really care. Like, I just want to meet cool people and record the conversations. And it's been one of the biggest blessings.
But it begins.
Yeah. But to good me, that you, was man. Like a take action moment where now I have feedback and proof that like, yes, this is the right way to go. And good things come from that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you got to start with things you like to do. Like you said, I love that you just said, like, if it's just this, it's enough. So everything else is a bonus, right?
Yeah.
And I think people miss out on that. Maybe when they do overthink, they're like, well, if it's just that, it's probably not going to be enough. So this is enough for you, like obviously meeting, interviewing, that kind of thing, which is really, really cool. So
yeah. So skipping around to, you bring up a good point. To get into the health thing, that seems like a healthy mindset of enough, which is another very difficult thing for most people to find. Like, to you, what is your enough?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, but I love it. It's one of my favorites in the whole wide world, because I did come to a place, and I like sharing these stories, man, because for me, it was me, but for other people, it wasn't. And it's like, if they can find a little bit of that in themselves, they can maybe identify who they are, and they did take the journey back and really look at themselves. Was I that kid who mowed the lawns? Maybe I'm more of an entrepreneur than I thought I was. Because you sort of maybe missed the boat or missed the opportunity, and then you're like, wait, my dad always said I'd be good at blank, 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 but you know, I always was doing something different anyway all the time, right? So anyway, as far as enough, I did shoot for the stars. I wanted to have, once my business started taking off, I had this 36-foot RV, lived on a half-acre lot in the best part of town. In Draper, Utah, was a really nice part of town. I had motorcycles in the garage, dirt bike, street bike. We had 3 or 4 cars. You know, we were like, I was buying things and trying to just live the best version.
Yeah.
And then one day I said, this isn't actually what I was thinking. This wasn't actually my dream life. But I'm here and now I have all this stuff, and I felt trapped, because if I didn't go and put the next day's work in, those things were just going to start falling off the ticker. And I'm like, this now I'm just sustaining this level. I'm not actually, there's no thing I'm going for anymore. I've come to the sustainability. And then so my wife and I decided, luckily I have a wife who's open to this, but we just sold everything. It took us, Armand, a year to sell everything, like, and I'm talking about everything, until we came to, we had a brand new Scion XB, and we had 4 construction totes and my motorcycle on a trailer in the back. And we lived like that for a long time, a minimum 4 years without buying furniture, anything. We invested in real estate, so we had some real estate assets, we rented them out, and we just took off. What we learned from that is that word enough. And with that word enough was, there's so much more in less in our journey. Because what it developed for me was like, I can do anything now. I'm in a reset level of like, if I wanted to change careers right now and do something completely different without worrying if I'm going to lose my RV, I can. I can do anything I want right now, right here. And I have so much freedom financially and mentally. So this freedom of not just money, but time, because I'm not mowing the lawn every Saturday. I'm not washing the RV. I'm not doing any of that. So I have the opportunity now to completely transform my life to that one life I've always been dreaming of, but had every excuse not to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's enough. And so when you go back into the world and you start purchasing things, then you start looking at it as, are they a liability to my goal or my dream, or are they an asset to my goal or my dream? Now I'm making conscious decisions towards what I buy, which before I was just like, it's cool, let's buy it. It'll be fun, let's buy it. Now I have I've presented myself with a bigger purpose. Like, I have a goal so big, I'm willing to die for it.
And I really hope that people listening understand the true wisdom of what you just said. It's like the having... I'm in this place right now where I feel like I want to get rid of a lot of the stuff that I have because they're just not... I don't know, like, clothes is the best example I have. I have a ton of jackets, and I don't wear most of them.
But how can you, right?
Exactly. It's San Diego. There's no need. But why do I still have said jackets?
This is the thought-provoking moment for you, brother, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's tap into it, right? What is it? Why, right? Let's ask the real question, though. And this is, you got to be honest with yourself. Why do you like the jackets, right?
It's not even that I like all of them. They served me at a certain time. They were my style for a certain time. But right now, it's the comfort of having all the options that I think is nice.
Yeah.
But is it really an option if it's not something that's aligned with me and, like, doesn't really... I mean, I guess it's there, but, like...
It depends on where your goals are, right? Have you asked the question, where are you going, right? So let's ask that question together, man. Let's have fun for your audience. Where are you going? Do you need them to be a rock star? Do you need them to be a podcast guy? Maybe you do. Maybe your thing is every episode, I got a new jacket on. I don't, because then it would work, right? Now it's an asset.
Yeah. That you bring up a great point. Because that's how my brother's philosophy on clothes is. He's a professional musician. Like, I do it for fun. To me, that's the for fun hobby thing. Mm-hmm. To him, it's his life. Like, he's in it. And to me, like, maybe now the fact that I have too many jackets, psychology's coming out, but I've always been like, yo, why you got so many clothes and all these things. But, like, he's got this, he even told me, he's like, I kind of have a flow state with the clothes. Like, I know when I want to buy what I want to buy. I know why I want to buy it. And I know when it's time to get rid of it or sell it or, like, turn it into something else. But to me,
that's a healthy relationship, it sounds like, right? Yeah,
I agree. And he says to me, my image is what I sell. Like, when I'm on Instagram, people are inspired to, if they don't have a reason to click on my music, they probably won't. Like, the music's the product, but that how he looks on his Instagram is his advertising. It's his marketing.
Sure. That's an asset, man.
And so, like, he nailed that part down. I think it's really cool.
So if we come back to the word enough, remember, that's why I came to my epiphany. I've been down the road, right? So in my epiphany is where I came up with the identify the goal first. He knows where he's going, what he has to do, and what he's producing. That makes the thing an asset. That helps you identify asset liability, right? If it's serving your goal, it's a matter of if you want that goal, right? Because in this case, great description. Could someone say he has enough clothes? Yeah, technically to live, but he has bigger aspirations and he has a purpose and there's something there. And then, so now, in some of the coaching that I'm developing now, I haven't shared it with too many people, but that's one of the baseline identifiers. So I'm glad you brought it up, man, and helped me explore it a little more and sort of validated it with your brother's story too as well.
Yeah.
And using your jackets as an analogy. It's really cool, man.
Yeah, that one just came up. I'm curious what was the feeling when you actually realized that epiphany? Like, when you made the decision, you're like, I'm going to start getting rid of all this stuff.
That what epiphany, was that feeling that's like? A great question. I couldn't really put my finger on that one, so I won't be able to elaborate today. But it was an immediate, like, you just go, yep, and we're going to commit. You can't half-ass commit to that kind of thing. And you have to have a goal. The end goal has to be something, because why are you selling all your stuff? In fact, in the military, if you start giving away things of value, they'll give you a psych eval because they think you're going to off yourself. And the only reason we know that is because we started giving things away. And one of, I can't remember, was at a garage sale or we were somewhere. We did, excuse my French, like I speak French quite often.
But you can cuss on the show.
We had multiple garage sales to pull this event off to get rid of everything, right? Because it's hard to get rid of stuff once you start collecting it. Anyway, somebody mentioned to us somewhere in that journey that, like, you know, in the military, when you give away things of this level value, they're going to question your mental capacity.
Yeah.
And it made me think, like, God, what does this world come to that, like, you know, you're not even allowed to give away things of value? And it tested me, brother. And this doesn't go along with your question, but I'll tell you something that made an impact on me is when I finally decided that giving to, because at first I was like, oh, well, that can go to donation, right? It's always the junk. Ah, send it to donation. We'll just give that to donate. We'll donate it. It was always kind of crappy things. But later on in my journey, I started thinking, yeah, but if I donate this, I'm actually giving something of value to someone who's going to find this in the secondhand store and go, oh my gosh, look at that. It's probably worth $400. And it's like $100 here. And then I'm now giving this person like this moment where they're like, they found the coolest thing in the secondhand store and they got the best deal on it. Not just a bunch of junk. And so at some point I came to this moment where I'm like, I felt that loop. That's one of the things I felt was like that, where you, when you give, it has zero to do with your loss and everything to do with the win on the other side. Yeah. Right.
And I think that has something to do with the fact that, like, it's already a loss. It's a sunk cost. I mean, you could get some of the money back, but you'll never get that, like, that purchase back, I guess.
You are a smart man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So can I tap into that one a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well played right there, by the way. And the same thing happened with me was I ask people, right? So I do this very commonly. A lot of my coaching stuff I just have been doing already. I'm just trying to put it like in a package. And this is one of the things I ask. And you could ask yourself, which you maybe have. I asked myself, if I could sell everything I had right now to have said dream that you just exposed to me or told me you wanted but can't have for blank, blank, blank reasons, right? They're always whatever your reasons, you can't have your dream. Would you sell everything you own right now for that dream? And there are some people who will say no, but there'll be people who will be like, yeah, I'd get rid of all this stuff. Why? Because, and then they don't realize that if you could essentially have all that money back, that's money. Like you said, they spent that money on liabilities. It didn't align with their dream. That's the mistake they had. And if we could go back and collect all that cash, right? That cash equals time, right? You traded time for that cash, right? So you're starting to get this, all of a sudden you're getting the time you needed to start your business, the cash you needed to start your business. And guess what?
Yeah.
You gave it away with every bad purchase you made. You gave away your dream with every liability you purchased that didn't line up with your goal or your dream.
And I would go, so Chad, I spend an absurd amount of time asking myself questions. So I really appreciate the thought experiment. I do want to go one level further. So I want to ask myself, like, what void was I trying to fill when I made this purchase? Because in some way, shape, or form, me buying that thing was to satisfy some kind of need.
Yeah.
Whatever that need may be. So it's like, what was... If books, as you can see back here, I really like books. And do I have too many books? Maybe. I don't know. But, right. Like, what need am I trying to get out of the books? Because that... I don't know, dude. Maybe it's getting too deep, but
well, you are essentially any book you read, just so you know, because you are your perception, and anything you have in your body that comes, any information that comes in goes through the knowledge of those books, right? And you're gonna say yes or no, maybe, yeah, that makes sense, yeah, I remember that philosophy. And if you didn't have that book, that part of you is, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I read this quote recently that I really liked. It was the mind, when it's expanded, cannot go back to its original form. I can't remember who said that, but...
Yeah, I think... I want to say it was Einstein, but I'm pretty sure it said a little bit differently in his words, but I know exactly which one you're talking about. But that's the point, is you're supposed to expand. If you had the mind of you when you were three, like, come on, what's the point, right?
Yeah.
The whole point is to expand. The mind is infinite. Infinite, which is the same as the universe. You can go as far as you want in that direction, but it's up to you to take action, for sure. So that taps into like the spirituality element of it, but also the physical aspect of it, and you know, being healthy, having healthy decisions in your life. So we can, you know, we could go into that all day long too, because how much you're able to retain, calculate, and compute also is you. If you're not calculated and you don't have the data to pull on, who are you?
Yeah. And I did want to circle back around to, you mentioned the coaching thing that you have going on. I also, I want to be mindful of time, but then also bring up that this is what you're working on currently. So what is the, what's the coaching business? If I remember correctly, is that the accounting services?
Yeah.
You're doing
so we have, my wife is the brains behind it. Remember I told you we traveled and we, you know, all that we did. Yeah. So that was a byproduct of that particular business that we had, which was remote bookkeeping. It fueled financially most of that whole ordeal, and it was 100% remote. So we were in Thailand, Mexico, Bali, like Florida, California, like we just went everywhere, right? So that particular thing is what we're doing now with that part of the coaching, is we help people in two different ways. One is educate them in a way that they can start their own remote bookkeeping business. At the same time, we're willing to take on the right candidates and rev share with you. And if we rev share with you in 1 year's time, we want to turn you into a six-figure earner, and then we share revenue with you, and then we let you off on your own, and we help you develop that. Because we want the, anyone who's interested in the lifestyle we lived, I'll tell you exactly how we did it. Like, we lived it. This isn't a hypothesis or a spec, or, you know, so many people are seeing success. No, I saw success already, so I don't know what other advice you, or evidence you need, but we do have three successful clients that we've transitioned, and 100% remote. Not everyone wants to travel, but people want that freedom, right?
Yeah. So, I do imagine a life of true freedom and minimalism. A lot of people might say they want it, but they don't really
want
it.
No, they don't. No, it's not for everyone. I'll tell the listeners right now, you can, best thing you can do is try it. If you don't like it, fine. What's the worst that can happen? Now all the old stuff you had will be new stuff? Because listen, you'll collect stuff so fast you have no idea. People buy stuff like it's falling off the shelves. I'm telling you. I know this because when we would finally settle down for 3-4 months, we'd collect enough stuff we'd have to get rid of stuff. It just happens. It's like this magical thing. Consumerism is a very powerful play in our country.
It just
happens.
There
is no doubt. So, but yeah, it's good for your mental health. Just having some, when you don't have stuff, man, it's just, there's nothing to maintain. You have four dishes. Well, the dishes don't stack up. You have, you know what I mean? You have eight outfits. Well, the laundry basket's not even full and all your clothes are in there. So certain stresses do just go away. And then at least you have a clear look at your life and you could say, yeah, those things did stress me out. And it's nice not having them. So I'm not going to make the same mistake again, but I will buy more clothes, or I will buy another car. But I don't want to do anything that puts me out of that zone, which puts me in the trap as a prisoner as well. And so, you know, being a bookkeeper is a very simple way for a bookkeeper to get into this remote lifestyle and, you know, transform into that level of freedom. Do they have to go minimalism? No. But is that the fastest way, in my opinion, to be to operate on total essentialism to becoming successful? I think in the beginning, yes. And I think at the midpoint, when you think, I can't do it because said, all those things are probably amounted to the stuff you've accumulated and the responsibilities that you've inked your name on.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have those, you'd probably just be doing the thing you wanted to do anyway.
What I'm hearing is when you clear all the clutter, you kind of clear your mind clutter as well. Like all
Amen.
That chatter, all the noise that's going on.
Yeah. And that point, man, you can make logical, real decisions for yourself. You're not irrational. Happens every day. Oh, well, we can't afford it. You made a decision based on what you could afford. Oh, we don't have time. I made a decision based on time. I didn't make a decision based on if it was good for me, healthy for me. You're basing it on other things that don't actually align with the core thing of, that we believe in this planet, which is like your health and well-being, right? Oh, I can't make it up to see family because I'm working too much. Why? Because you bought a house that was too expensive. Mm. You know what I mean? Now you're missing out on these things that are the real reason we're on this planet, right? And yeah. But you don't put it all together in the end. You just think you're busy all the time. But yeah. You signed up for all of it. I can guarantee you, if you don't have time, you signed up for all that.
Yeah. Wow. It's given me a lot to think about.
Well, me too, brother. Keep on thinking. Keep on thinking, thinker.
I think I gotta stop thinking.
Keep it up, man. Keep up the good work. Keep asking questions, right? I have a philosophy where, like, I'll throw it against the wall. Even if I think I've come to a conclusion, remember I said I had an epiphany and yeah. I've been down that road and I came to this conclusion. Okay, great. We'll throw it against the wall every once in a while because eventually it will either break or it will be truth. Okay. And every time it doesn't break, it continues to be truth. So when you're asking yourself questions, you're literally just trying to find the truth within. And it's okay, man. It's just throwing a ball against the wall to see if it breaks.
I totally agree because this is something that... So I'll tell you an example of that exact process that I did, I think like an hour ago.
I was talking
to my brother and a friend, and I've been trying to understand the concept of like my own sense of style, whether it be in my writing, whether it be in how I dress, whether it be... You know, this podcast, I just want to understand better what is Armand's style.
And what is your authentic you, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And an epiphany I came with was style doesn't come from following the rules. It comes from breaking the rules. And then I asked myself, okay, what's wrong about this statement? Rather than looking for all the proof where it's right. And I came up with, well, sometimes someone's style could be following the rules, like therefore mm-hmm. breaking the rules isn't their style. So I changed the statement a little bit to style doesn't come from following the rules. It comes from following your rules.
Wow. You put it together in words, brother. So nice work.
And I was like, okay, now I have to break this one. But until I do, I'm gonna keep that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, well played. You got through that one really, really well, man. I think that's what you did takes... Sometimes journaling, right? People take for granted what journaling does. That's the magic of journaling.
Yeah.
When you can stare at it, and then the next time you look at it, you go, wait a minute, that totally doesn't make sense. There's a loop, there's a hole in that story. And I'm living as with that as my principle, and it has a hole in it, right? You can't live on that level. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you have to, you know, we're just truth seekers, man. We just don't want to live in our
Bunch
own
of truth
lies.
Seekers.
What a, yeah. We don't want a bullshit story because if you don't know who you are authentically, you're not only living a bullshit life. Let me give you an example. If you're not speaking your true self and your truth opinion like, oh, that bothers me. Well, whether it's right or wrong, if it bothers you and you don't say it, you're now implying to the other person that it's fine. And they think of you as the person that doesn't bother. And now their perception of you is that stuff doesn't bother. When you make fun of him about his hat, that doesn't bother him. It never bothers him. I've been doing it to him for years. That doesn't mean it doesn't bother me. But that's not their fault. So you speaking your truth, you saying where you're weak, where you're strong, and helps you identify all of it. Because if you're wrong, and this is a coaching style, not just mine, but other people. If I can push you until you break, then whatever it was, and that you might not like me after that either, okay? That might be the last coaching call we do. But if I can break you, then it certainly wasn't you. Because you cannot be broken. If it's you, the authentic you, you cannot be broken.
I agree. I recently had an experience where something someone said to me made me very angry and upset. And it spent me a while to be like, why was I so angry? And coming to terms with whatever realization I came with. It was a difficult one. But at the end, I was able to see that person with like a lot of thanks. And like a lot of, I was able to go because of that. Like I learned this about myself. Like, I don't know. It was a very, it was a good moment for me.
You're on the journey. You are on the journey. That's what it tells me, man.
Every day. One more step, man.
Yep. That's cool. You are killing it, man. I've had a lot of fun on your show, man. So,
and yeah, thanks for coming on. I know we're reaching the end of the time, but if we could have another conversation another day, we can get to your hobbies. Mm-hmm. You mentioned having motorcycles. I love riding, so I'd love to get into that.
We can tap into that. Anything, so the Play Hard podcast. Give me the breakdown on that, man, real quick. Give me where did that spawn? Yeah, like give me how did it spawn?
Well, I mean, main story is my dad's a founder. I work at his company, and he's been on a journey of finding habits in like a stress-free environment from work. I actually gave him the book Essentialism a while ago. I just talked about it on the last episode. Works.
Nice.
But he was a chronic overworker, and one of his co-founders. So I was thinking of what podcast to start. One of his co-founders in his free time is a race car driver.
Okay.
Like he races cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of hit me. I was like, well, founders generally are wild people and have wild hobbies to match it. And like, what are those things that founders who are trying to change the world or shape the world the way they see it, what are they doing for fun? Like, how do they let go of stress? And oftentimes I've spoken to some like people with wild hobbies. Other people, it's like, I just like chilling with my family. But like, everyone has a unique way that they de-stress. And I just want to talk to them about it.
Right. It also lights the fire within someone, right? So you need to... People, and I'm not the only one to say this, but it let's just say you have a hobby outside of whatever it is you do for work. That's what refuels you, because the work is work. It drains you, okay? There's no question. You go to work all day, you're drained, okay? I mean, some people might get energized, but you put in a good day of work, it's going to take some out of you, right?
Yeah.
Long story short, once you start the other thing that you do in the evening that refuels you, right? That's the point, is the refueling. And that's when you play hard, you're not playing, you're refueling the soul for the next day.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to use that as a snippet.
Yeah. Well, I can't say I'm the one who made that up. I know I might've read it or saw it somewhere, but it made a lot of sense to me, because when I would go and do music in the evenings, I never felt tired, never felt like it was work. When I'd leave energized sometimes at 11 o'clock at night. So. All right. Fire away, man.
No, I was going to say thank you so much for coming on. My pleasure, man. I've learned a lot. I really liked hearing everything. And best of luck to you on everything you got going on.
Cool. Yeah. Anybody who wants to become a remote bookkeeper, or they want to take control of their life and steal it back from all the BS, let's have a conversation. It'll sound just like the one we're having now, except for it'll be about you.
Yeah. And any links, anything you want me to share real quick?
You can drop it in the comments. Notes. We'll just put it together.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You can find us at bookkeepersofamerica.org if you want to. You can find me on social media. My name's Chad Pesa. You can find me anywhere. So, I'll be happy to offer all that I can. And I'm eager to learn and tap into other people's businesses as well. We have a podcast called, Fire Your Boss Fridays, which is, it's just all about escaping the grind, man, and getting out. So, if that's you, I'm sure we got some episodes that'll fit your criteria.
Sweet.
If you want to jump on that, Armand, maybe we'll have you on there. Maybe your dad. I don't know. Maybe your brother. I mean, I don't know.
Anyone.
We'll do it. All you guys, you probably all look the same.
We do.
You probably do. Yeah, don't you
nailed it. Yeah, I have two younger brothers, and everyone thinks we're all triplets.
Yeah, that's funny. Cool, man. All right. It's been a pleasure. Hey, have a good rest of your day, man. Thanks for having me. It's been super duper fun. And go get them, man. Keep going.
Yeah. Peace out, Chad.